Live from the podcast studio, this is From Long Distance to Marriage with Rich and Andrea. We're a once long distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and are now happily married.
We talk long distance, marriage and relationships.
Welcome to episode 80 of From Long Distance to Marriage. Before we kind of dig into today's topic, we wanted to talk about what's happening in the world right now. For those of you who follow us on Instagram, you might have seen earlier this week we had a post and some stories up about how we've just been thinking, like many people, what we can do to help the current movement and situations around racism in America and all over the world. Between ourselves, you know, we're reading, we're researching, we're educating ourselves, signing petitions and finding causes to support, but we also thought that we might be able to do something a little bit different with the podcast. Do you want to talk a little bit about what we were thinking?
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, anyone who read the post, and we also put it on Twitter, you know, we made the point that we think now's a really good time just to listen, and we didn't want to... We want to stay in our lane in the sense of, you know, we're aware that we're fairly privileged and sheltered and...
Extremely privileged.
You know, so it's not really our place to be saying... to try and be the voice of other people's experience. But we're aware that we have a platform with an audience of people who, you know, may want to hear other people's experiences. So
we want to hear.
And other... we want to hear as part of our own education. You know, and we said too that we're very fortunate, you know, people listening to this, people in interracial, international relationships, that people are crossing borders of not just race and countries, but cultures and religions too, you know. So probably a fairly enlightened audience that we've got. And
we
wanted to open up our platform because, like I said, we're not the right voice, but we want to open up our platform and say, if you have an experience or a story from your relationship or not that you would like to share, that you'd like other people to hear, that you think our audience would like to hear, we welcome you on as a guest, or if you didn't want to be on the podcast, we can talk about options as well, like guest blogs, social media posts, whatever it may be. But we're opening up our platform to hear other people's experiences based on what's currently happening.
Yeah, I think we want to, like, it's a really hard thing to talk about, and I think everyone's very wary of saying the wrong thing. And I think for people that feel like that, a lot of it's just that you want to do the right thing. And, you know, we talked a lot about this, about what we could do. And, you know, we're going to be looking for other ways that we can do more. But this is where we're starting. You know, if you have a story or you want to share your perspective growing up, receiving racism or whatever those experiences are, you know, we're happy to give you a chance to share your voice. Like we said, our voices maybe aren't quite the right ones to be heard right now, but we're happy to amplify others. And we want to do that. So please get in touch. You can contact us on Instagram or Twitter at Mr. Mrs. Distance, or you can contact us through our website. Be happy to hear from you.
The website's longdistancetomarriage.com, for anyone who doesn't know.
Yeah, so you can find the most recent posts and comment, and we can get in touch with you, or you can just send us a direct message, whatever you want to do. We're happy to start the dialogue.
So on to today's topic.
Yeah, so it feels like a weird shift, kind of. It's a little bit more lighthearted, but... isn't always necessarily lighthearted, no, but we're talking about making a home together. And we've touched on this in a lot of other episodes, but it's a funny one. This can be it's a really exciting time moving in together, whether you're just taking that step in your relationship or it's when you've gotten married or you've closed the distance and you're living together. Energies run high, things are exciting, but there's actually quite a lot to figure out and a lot of adjusting to do. And I think it was... when we moved out on our own, it was a little bit of a shock. I mean, it wasn't tricky when Rich was in America with my family, or I was here when I moved over here and before we got our own place and lived with his family, because...
You appreciate you're a guest.
And also, even for, you know, me being at home with my family when Rich was living there, it was my mom and dad's household, and they ran it, they managed it. Obviously, we cleaned up after ourselves, but we kind of did... we worked in the way that they led the example that the house was run. And that's what it was like when I moved here too. Mm-hmm. I was very conscious I was a guest and that, you know, they were enabling us to be together after we closed the distance. And you know, we weren't making those decisions. So there wasn't that kind of stress. And then when we got our first bites together, to say the shit hit the fan mm-hmm. might be a bit dramatic, but also not.
Yeah, it was rough. And we found it hard to get on consistently.
Even the parts of it were really, really exciting too.
Yeah, and I think, you know, looking back, we probably didn't realise it at the time. We did cotton onto it fairly quickly, I think. But it's unspoken, and this is why I think we said in a recent episode that marriages or long-term relationships are often entered into just sort of, they kind of just happen, and few people, or relatively few people, do any sort of pre-marriage counselling or therapy. Because I think there's a perception that therapy is negative and it's something you do to fix, whereas a lot of therapists would say the reality is it should be preventative, you know. So some people out there are having that, putting that time and money investment into that in advance. So then you just, if it's not necessarily to fix anything, but it just tells you this is what's likely to happen. And so we eventually realized that when you live together for the first time as a couple, your own place, you're bringing together both of those backgrounds and the upbringings and all the expectations that come on that. So if you're from a household where, say, you know, the mother, the woman did all the housework and you were taught that's the way it's done, as a male or female, that you're likely to take that into your next relationship, and vice versa. If you come from a household where things are divided or the dad did it, you know, so, but you, whatever the scenario may be, they're just examples, whatever it may be, that's your frame of reference that you're bringing into this relationship. And the chances of your other half having identicals are probably not massive. So they're bringing their own, well, no, you know, why should I do that just because I'm the woman? And my family, that's not how it was done. And I expect you to do this. So you've got that to overcome. But the thing that it's really, really easy to lead to an argument there, because when you disagree with that, you're not just disagreeing with their opinion, you're telling them their upbringing was wrong. So there's a lot of emotional attachment to that, you know. So this kind of taps into all the other episodes we've done about with Dovid and Marcus and Ashley and Dr. Laura, you know, about communication and how you approach these things and how you do it without criticizing, and how you have a productive discussion rather than an argument. And you say, look, this isn't an attack on how you do things, but just for reference, this is how I was brought up and this is kind of how I envision things in our relationship. Yeah, but you have to have these conversations, and we didn't.
No, and I think it's something you should have in the run-up to moving in together, before you've even picked the place. You know, once you start thinking, hey, let's move in together, and you're starting to look, I think these conversations should be had, you know, just to prepare yourselves and have a bit of a plan in place, because it is a massive adjustment. And you made a really good point a few minutes ago about, you know, if you were brought up a little bit differently and different people played different roles in running the house, then yeah, if it's like, well, no, that's stupid, that's not how we did it, that can, well, hold on now, that's how my family, you know.
And some people get raised by different generations. If you're someone who was raised by, say, the grandparents, and you get engaged to someone who was raised by young parents, there's a huge generation gap there between and the traditions that go along with it. So it's just something that you two, as whatever's come before, you two are now adults, and you can say, okay, well, this is our frame of reference and this is what we want, and we'll talk about it rationally and sensibly. Otherwise you're just in all sorts of trouble.
Yeah, and it's okay to talk about what you didn't like about the way the household was run when you were growing up, and what you'd like to change, what you really liked and would like to see in your own household, and listen to each other and make lists of what will work for the two of you.
And you have to be prepared that it will change over time.
Yeah.
And some things you may not even know to think about till you're actually in this situation, because there's just daily stuff, you know. You may think to discuss who will do most of the cooking or who will do the bills, but you may not think about who's going to mow the lawn, who's going to take the bin out, and that's okay. But again, it may change. You may think, actually, we'll split that, or this isn't working as we plan. So don't think we'll have this conversation up front and then that's set in stone forever. It just kind of helps you get on the same page and see what you've got shared anyway, and then what you're coming from a different angle on.
And it's going to evolve, like you said. So in your first place, maybe your first place together is an apartment. So you don't have to worry about kind of outdoor maintenance, like taking care of a yard or, you know, anything like that. It's genuinely just kind of cleaning and decorating that you have to think about and cooking and things like that. But as you grow together as a couple, you know, each property that you move into is going to have different requirements and different responsibilities for each of you. So maybe, yeah, you have an apartment and then maybe you get a house that's got a yard and you got to think, oh, okay, well, how are we going to divvy this up? And that might mean that maybe, you know, one of you really likes working in the yard and that means you're going to take that responsibility. So a bit more has to shift onto the other person or whatever.
Yeah. And if you, like, there are some things that neither of you wants to do, and one effective way of dealing with that is that you can either barter for it, like, look, I'll do this if you do that thing, or, you know, no one likes taking the trash out, but it's, does one of you dislike it and the other one just cannot stand doing it, then suck it up and you do it because you dislike it, and they'll do something that you can't stand doing. You can have that give and take.
Or you can trade.
Yeah, that's what I said. You can barter for it. Like, I do this if you do that.
No, I mean, like, you can trade off each week, for example.
Yeah, there are things that, like, we split feeding the animals, so I do it in the morning and you do it in the evening. And then you always know where you are.
That's not because we don't like to feed our dogs.
No, it's just because it needs to be done twice a day. Well, because we used to just do it whoever felt like it, and then we just decided, look, let's split it. But
actually, it's made our dogs, I think, respect us both equally, because
they know who's feeding them in the morning and the evening.
Yeah, but, like, they usually say that the dogs kind of respect or know who feeds them and looks to them as the head of the household, but because we both do it. Anyways, yeah, that's besides the point. Something else to think about that we have, I wouldn't exactly say struggled, but really had to think about and address, is that you're also merging two styles when you move in together. And if you move in together after you've lived from home, you both want to try different things. So you might find that, you know, your family's home was very much this one style and you really want to go for this. And then, but maybe your partner's already got an established style that they, you know, they haven't been living at home, and it can be really tricky. I would say that our styles are actually, they overlap in some ways, but in other ways they're very different.
We've got two completely different styles that we somehow merge together, and it works.
It's taken some work.
Yeah, I mean, the fact is, like,
it's taken some concessions on both sides.
But the thing is, as well, is there are things that completely appeal to your style that you just would never think to do on your own. So, like, there's nothing I dislike about our house. But if I decorated it on my own, I probably would have come to some different decisions.
Mm.
But that's not to say I'm unhappy with it. It just, so don't think, well, that's not what I do, and so I'm going to put my foot down and say no. Sometimes, like, if you think about it, sleep on it over, and think, actually, you know, that would look really nice. Because people can influence you, and people can bring just different ideas and opinions that you wouldn't have thought of, and you think, actually, I do really like that. So, and I don't really like compromise as a word, because it's got this reputation that no one's happy with the outcome, but certainly with something like styles and taste, you haven't, someone's style and their taste of something isn't one thing. It's like, oh, I like the colour blue and I don't like any other colour. Maybe you go for a different shade of blue, or maybe think, but I also like this colour, you know? So just be open to it and see it for, it's hard, isn't it? Because it's no longer your home or the other person's home. It's a combined home, and it should be reflective of that.
And I think that was something that surprised me. I mean, I grew up in a household where my mom did and still does kind of take direction on the decorating and the decor and the appearance of the house. My dad doesn't really have an opinion. You know, I mean, about some stuff, big purchases, furniture and things like that, he wants to make sure. But in terms of, like, you know, paintings and cushions and, you know, bedding and things, like, he doesn't even know my mom's buying it. He might recognize when it's out. That's new. But that was fine. That was how it worked. And then, you know, Rich, you do have a sense of style, and you have a lot of opinions about the things that come into our home. So it was a real shock for me. I didn't know men could have opinions like that. So when I think it was when we were planning our wedding, so early on, I was like, oh, yeah, like, the cake's gonna look like this. And it didn't even occur to me that Rich might not like that. Like, it's a cake. It's pretty. And we had, I think that was our first wedding fight. It was over the cake.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, we had a big fight about that. And the then, cake? Yeah, I don't remember what. I think you wanted some really strange, macabre-looking thing, and I'm like, no, we're getting a pretty cake, and this is what it looks like. But then there were other, so that was the first stumbling block, and then I was picking out flowers, and I picked my bouquet, which obviously you didn't really care, as long as it was pretty, and I said, oh, and then what do you think, do you want these flowers also for your boutonnieres? And you were like, I'm not wearing flowers. Mm-hmm. I'm not wearing flowers. And I'm like, oh, like, you don't want any of the men in the wedding party to have flowers? Like your dad, your groomsmen, nothing? No, not wearing flowers. And that wasn't really a sticking point. I was like, oh, are you sure? It's not like gay. Everyone does it. Not to put that way, but I didn't know if you felt insecure wearing flowers or something. So we picked and said you
had... I remember that what I was going to be wearing was the one area that I... Because for the wedding... I was pretty hands off.
Yeah,
I said, you know, it probably means more to you than me in terms of visuals on the day. So I wouldn't get too involved in it, but I did want to have. I wanted to have the say on what I'd be wearing.
Yeah, because I think we had like two colors to our wedding, pink and green, and so I said, like, obviously you wanted to wear the green element and your, you know, for your tie and things like that, and so instead of a buttonhole, you guys had like nice like the square handkerchief squares in your pockets.
Pocket squares.
Yeah, as we call them. So yeah, I mean, I didn't even think that would be a thing, and it was, and then I learned quickly that, okay, this is a guy that has big opinions about what we do. And I remember the first, like, every time we've moved, thank God we haven't moved in about 5 years, but we would get into huge debates about how furniture was going to be arranged in rooms and stuff, and it was exhausting. But again, I just figured, like, that's my mom always did that, and it was just fine. So there is things to adjust, and it doesn't mean that either of you are wrong. That you're just people, and that's how it is, and you have to find out what's going to work for the two of you.
And again, I don't know how involved my dad was. He was involved in certain things, but I don't know. But I mean, you know, for anyone listening, for some context, you know, your mum is a kept woman, so she was at home all day, and your dad worked pretty long hours, so it kind of made more sense that the home was maybe tilted towards what she wanted, because she was in it all day, every day. And your dad's like, I see the walls a few hours a day. I'm mainly looking at the TV when I'm here. Like, knock yourself out. We're here pretty much even.
Yeah, we both work. And
now that we're working from home, we're both here all the time. So, and I do think that makes a difference. I don't think that has to be a gender thing, but I think if someone says, look, I'm in this environment all the time, then it's probably fair that you may have a little extra say, but it's certainly not the case that if either of you wants to have a voice, that you feel silenced.
And I think, you know, it's picking your battles too, you know, and this isn't quite what we've talked about with David, but it, you know, the kind of underlying theme of it is to ask yourself, is this something I want to battle about? Is this something that's really worth getting into it for? Or can I accept this? Can I deal with this? And if you can, then that's fine. Like, we were at a tattoo convention a few years ago, and there was this really cool spray paint artist, very cool, but not my style of stuff for what I'd want in the house. And Rich found this, like, cloaked skull, is it death? The Grim Reaper. And it's really cool, and I can appreciate it, but it's a big fucking skull painting, and it's dark.
But I was just admiring it, and you were like, oh, yeah, if you want it, you can get it.
I don't think I said that.
You did, because I remember thinking, I probably shouldn't buy this.
I think I said, like, you kept going on about it, and I was like, do you want that?
Yeah.
It wasn't like, well, let's get it.
Well, whatever. You gave the green light. And we've got... But there's only really one place in the house it can go. We've got this really nice dark red wall that it's a dark painting, and it kind of... It fits on it really nice.
But it's the first thing you see when you walk into our living space is this bit. But I don't even see it anymore.
Everyone else does.
Yeah, and everyone hates it.
They comment on it all the time.
Your stepmom always says how much she hates it. Like, oh.
Yeah, well, she's hardly here. That's okay.
And yeah, it is okay. But yeah,
It's a good example that it's not something... And I think... Both of us have little things around the house like that that just add a touch of one of our personalities that the other one wouldn't normally have. And that's nice, you know, then people can touch the house and they can kind of see who picked what. And
We had a cleaning lady start for us, and she said something like, did one of you decorate upstairs and one of you decorate downstairs? We're like, not really. Why? And she's like, because they're very different styles. And it really made us laugh because there is very eclectic.
But our house is what, 90 years old. It's built in this 30s style. And yeah, I've got a much more modern style. And if it was me, it's hard to explain when I was not familiar with it. What are they, picture rails? A lot of the living spaces have picture rails.
Yeah, it's got some character from the 30s, which I really love.
Yeah, if it was me, I'd rip it all down. And I prefer the more open...
But we do have quite an open... Like, downstairs is quite modern and open. And upstairs is a little bit more like the traditional style of the
living,
house.
The living room has the picture rails and stuff. Yeah. So, but you know, they're not reflections from us, other than the fact they're still there. And I'd get rid of them, and you could... I don't really see them anymore. Like, yeah. They're just there, but
I really like it because I grew up in all really, really new houses in Southern California and Arizona where everything is a lot newer. So I've never had the opportunity to be in a house that has character. So I really enjoy that and admire it. So.
Yeah, and I think it comes back to what I said before about who's got the stronger opinion. Like, you like them more than I dislike them.
Mm, yeah.
They just wouldn't be my first choice.
So overall,
I don't walk into the room and think, oh, fuck. Well, these things still doing on the wall, and you probably walk in there thinking, this is really nice.
There's only one thing in our house that I think, oh, fuck, when I see it, and it's that poster.
What poster?
Of Bill Hicks.
Oh. That's not a poster. We've got this old canvas.
Well, it's like a big...
That's been hidden for, like, 5 years.
And there's a reason for that.
Yeah, we were decorating. But, you know, we have these conversations, and you know, they're normal. Like, it's not... But there's a... I think the point we're making is you can have the conversations and stay respectful and not have big arguments. And there are things that both of us have had to kind of be like, haven't got what we wanted to.
Yeah.
Can you think of any?
I know that it took years and years for me to be able to have floral bedding. And there was some really beautiful... I can't remember what it was, but when we were registering for our wedding, there's some beautiful, beautiful bedding that we would never be able to afford now, but because it was on our wedding registry, I thought, hey, we'll ask for it. And you were like, not having flowers. And over the years, I've been able to have two sets of floral bedding, but only because they're quite subtle, and one's like monochrome.
Yeah, it's just not my first taste, but we don't disagree, but we have difference of opinions.
We do disagree sometimes.
About the bed, yeah, we disagree, we don't argue. About the bedrooms, like, we talk, should we move into that room? And we had, because we just had the spare room decorated, it's lovely, and our master bedroom hasn't been touched. And it's cooler in there, like, but we spoke about what we're in there, and I wanted to, and then you were like, it's not big enough. And
it is smaller, yeah, it's tricky, but...
But we handle it differently than we used to.
We do, and we just really talk things out more, and we get a lot less passionate than we did before, but... You know, I mean, the fun thing is that you can really merge two styles, and you might find that, for example, you can kind of influence each other. And I don't mean that in a kind of manipulative way. But for example, you might find that at first you don't think you like a certain style, and then your partner does, and then you can start adapting that together and make your own kind of unique,
mm-hmm.
eclectic style. Like, we have that really funky thing in the porch with the gargoyles.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have... when we first got together, Rich had one or two little, like, concrete little gargoyle things that you can hang on the wall. And I always thought they were funny. Like, it was fine, whatever. And then we kind of started getting more. And when we moved into our house, we thought, oh, we've got this bricked-in porch. And I said, let's put them in here. Because they weren't really the kind of thing I'd want in my house, but they're cool. So
they'd look good in here.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. Podcast studio gargoyles. But no, they're in the porch, and we use them to make give people directions to get here.
I mean, I've never done that.
I do all the time. It's almost like coming to collect something. Like, okay, is this number, and it's done with the gargoyles on the porch.
Oh, okay, I've never done that.
Because if you say it's the second house from the corner, well, so is our neighbour over the road.
Yeah.
And if I say, well, this car's been the drive, it maybe won't be there. So it's easier to say the gargoyles are in the porch.
And we scare people, too, I think, with it a little bit. There were those Jehovah's Witnesses, old ladies. Those
two old ladies, yeah, I heard them through the doorbell. Just said, like, oh, I don't like those.
And then I was in the lounge.
She never came back, either.
I was in the lounge, like, on Halloween, and we were waiting for trick-or-treaters, and I had the front door cracked because it was a bit warm, and I could hear this lady with little kids go, oh, look at the little gargoyles they've put out for Halloween. And I thought, there, 365, lady.
Yeah, and it also became a tradition for us. And I think it may be in one of our early episodes we spoke about the importance of traditions. I think we mentioned it in there that because we get them from, they're handmade by this couple that had a market store, a little market shop in
Camden Market.
Yeah, in London.
They're not there anymore.
No. Fucking council pushed them out. But anyway, we it was a tradition of ours that we'd go to London and we'd always make a little stop at the market, and we got to know them quite well.
Yeah.
So we spent a little while chatting in there, and So it just became one of our traditions, and it's we had a couple of spontaneous days, and we got one really heavy one that I had to carry back in the rain.
Yeah, he sits on the ground.
They closed the underground station, so I can't remember the reason for that, but I had to stand there holding this thing.
In the rain,
waiting for an Uber to turn up. So, you know, but it ties in nicely with establishing traditions as well, and it's when you make the house the home. You can do it together, and there may be something you can do like that where you start a little collection.
Yeah, and it's more fun if you do it together. Like, I know my mom has collected things over the years, like teapots and different things like that. But it's not something fun that we can give to both of my parents. There's something that they're interested in together, that they collect together. So it's nice to have that as a couple. So maybe you have a little shelf that has all turtle knickknacks or whatever it is. You know, it's something that you can add to and tell stories about and pick up on vacations and things like
and,
that.
Yeah, you know, for long distance couples who are in different countries, maybe you start a little collection of something to do around that travel. Or, you know, we have friends who, they're not long distance, but they used to travel a lot, so they got one of those maps in the living room, and they'd put pins in all the countries they've been to. And
yeah,
you know, so I think you've got probably a few more options if you're international like that, or from even within the same country if it's different enough. You know, you can start doing something like that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's all about being really open and communicating and being calm and patient. And I know that those same friends I think you're talking about with the map, they've been together a really long time, but they'd never lived together. They've probably been together like 8 years-ish, maybe a little bit less. And when they got their house together, I remember her saying to me, like, Andrea, how do you do it? How do you live with a boy?
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
But I think something that you can do, and, you know, Rich was talking earlier about being proactive and having conversations, but it's also being ready to know that there's probably going to be some arguments when you live together. And that might not be over how you decorate. It might be over someone pulling their weight or not pulling their weight. So it's really good to talk about it and know maybe what to expect. And we had our episode with Dr. Laura Lewis. We talked a lot about keeping the peace and kind of having constructive arguments. And also with David, we've talked a lot about communicating your expectations, or not really your expectations, but how to communicate and how to think about your expectations. So it might be how to have the conversation if there's something someone's doing in the house that's really bothering you, or that makes you feel like they just don't value, you know, what you want for the household. So there's a lot of different things that you can look at with those episodes. Our last episode from last week talked through all the guests we've had, so that's worth looking at, because we've had some really interesting talks with people about kind of making a home together and how to communicate with one another. And that would be David, Dr. Laura Lewis,
Marcus and Ashley.
So we'd recommend those. You can look at last week's episode. We've got all the links to every episode we've had with a guest. But really, I hope we haven't put too much of a damper on building a home together and moving in together.
No, I mean, it's great. You know, we enjoy it. And it's nice doing it together, but just really going through it with your eyes open, in not to expect the arguments, because I think you can expect something into then happening when it wouldn't have otherwise, but
to be prepared.
Be prepared that you're going to have different opinions. And I think if you're not there yet, then, you know, like Andrew just said, take the time to listen to some of those episodes we've had with guests. And we did an episode early on about arguments and how you can take good lessons from them. You know, we've got a lot of content that you can dive into and kind of absorb that, and if you're in a relationship, you can share that with your partner, so that by the time you do get there, some of this is already in the back of your mind, and you can put it to good use and maybe avoid the arguments altogether. And if you are already there, then they can still be useful, because doing things together in the house is an ongoing thing. You don't just do it once. So hopefully it hasn't been a damper. I think it's been positive.
Yeah, I think we've just been trying to shed a light on ways to deal with the stuff that can be a bit tricky. But overall, it's really fun. It's really exciting.
Just remember, like, tone is everything. For both of you, you're allowed to disagree, and the other one of you is allowed to disagree with the disagreement. But just be respectful and appreciate that it may be coming from different backgrounds. And when you disagree, that you're not just disagreeing with their opinion, but you're saying everything they've known is wrong or outdated or whatever. You know, so just be respectful and mindful.
Absolutely. And let us know if there's any topics you want us to discuss in upcoming episodes, anything related to this or not, anything relating to relationships. You see what I did there? But yeah, we're happy to discuss and we're always here to listen, and we hope you guys have a good week. Bye.